coming for war, man. Lots of talking, but never ever gets boring. Rounding up the humorous stuff in the news about Mormons. Can't wait to see which one will they choose.
Who are you? Who am I? Who are we? We are this week.
Oh, I'm glad it's time for Lutefisk again.
Yes. Welcome to This Week in Mormons, everyone.
You may not know this, Jeff. This reminds me of a fun story. Stan Borson is a famed parody. He's sort of the Weird Al for old Swedish people. Of course, they
have no
one.
Idea what we're talking about right now. But
Stan Borson,
yeah,
delightful old man. I grew up on his parodies of Christmas classics, like I'm Glad It's Time for Lutefisk Again, or Walking in My Winter Underwear, a great classic.
That sounds like Dr. Demento on LA.
Sort of, but for old Swedish people. Again, you should look up. Anyway.
I'm Danish, you fool.
He doesn't exist on any of the streaming platforms, so I wanted to get his albums because nobody has his cassette tapes anymore, like right. We got back in the old days. Anyway, I find him on the internet. He's got a website with a phone number on it. I call it His Wife Answers. Hello. Like, hey, I want to order Stan Borson Christmas Classics and Christmas Classics too. She says, great. What's your address? I'll send these out. When you get them, would you just send me a check? And I was like, when I get the product, would I send you a check? Oh, sweetheart. Absolutely.
Simpler times.
So one, I transacted a transaction on the internet where they sent me the product and then I mailed them a check because they couldn't do anything else. And it was maybe a highlight of my old Swedish people career.
Was that the first check you've delightful. Written in years?
Here comes Ingebrigt. Here comes Ingebrigt. Coming right down the lane. Here comes Ingebrigt. Here comes Ingebrigt. She's driving us insane. And then the accordion takes
over. Did you
over.
Get this it's for yourself wonderful. Or for your parents? What is was this?
Well, I got it from my parents. They didn't care. They were like, oh, that's funny. Grandma used to have that. And I'm like, you don't understand. So I'm the only one with it on my iPhone. Sure. Oh. Maybe the only person in America with it on their iPhone. Maybe.
Will you send me an MP3 of one of these so I can make it the,
of course.
The bumper music at the end of the episode?
Oh, yeah. No, you'll love it.
Please do.
You'll love
it. I will add it in. Pick the best one.
Anyway, Jeff, how are you?
Good to see you, buddy. I'm swell now that I've learned about these great Swedish things. I wish there was a Welsh or Danish equivalent. I'd feel so fulfilled.
I don't know there is. I don't know that there
the
is.
The Welsh one would just be about coal mines, and that's about it. That's all we've got.
The Danish one, you could really do something with the shoes.
I'm sure.
That's all they've got, shoes and bikes.
That's not... I mean, they have a lot of bikes, but aren't... You mean like clogs, like shoes?
Yeah, that's wooden shoes.
That's the Netherlands, the wooden shoes.
No, the Danes have them too. They fill them with straw, and then the tumtagubbas come and put candy in them.
I mean, it's kind of a thing, but like the
do
wooden
you know
clogs
your
is
traditions?
A Dutch thing. No, of course I don't. I only found out I was more Danish a couple years ago. I always thought I was this. It was during my Danish.
What are you
going
to do when Ancestry sells your information and the world knows you're
That's
Danish?
That's kind of why I refuse to do those genealogy tests.
Because what if the world knew? Are you ashamed of your Danish heritage?
Yes.
Oh,
what happened to us? What happened to us? Sure.
You have the largest shipping conglomerate ever to exist.
We gave the world Maersk. Absolutely. Yeah. Sure. Copenhagen
and
is the greatest city in Scandinavia. Yes.
And you gave it the, what's the little statue? The mermaid statue over there.
The mermaid statue is dumb.
No,
you've been
come
there.
On.
It's in way north Copenhagen off the harbor. It's just this random little statue sitting there. It is a classic tourist trap. And thank goodness it's just a free statue you can check out. But
why is it famous? It's like...
It's Hans Christian Andersen. It's just a statue with a little...
Carl Erickson.
Hans Christian Andersen. More interesting, perhaps, I have actually been, not to, but outside of the Hans Christian Andersen Museum in Odense, which is the town he's from in Denmark, known as Odense
in English.
There's a whole thing set. It's almost like living history.
Wait, so you did not go into the museum?
No, I was hanging out while my boss, I kid you not, was, quote, meeting an old colleague, but I'm pretty sure he was trying to hook up with some woman in a coffee shop, and I'm just wandering around Old Town Odense by myself for 2 hours.
So you could have gone into the place. That would have been a better story,
I feel
like.
Do you know how expensive Denmark is? I didn't feel like dropping the equivalent of like $45 to go see an author I only nominally care about. Priorities, my friend.
They probably had little plump fingers sticking through cages you could squeeze and say...
Eat children.
One could hope, but I never found
it. What if it was an interactive museum like that? Only the Danes would pull that off, too. I feel like they totally
Maybe
would.
The Germans could give us a creepy Brothers Grimm museum. Is there a Brothers Grimm museum in Germany?
I don't know.
Neither of us are really that German. I'm a little German.
I've only been to their one of many Holocaust museums for their terrible history, and that's all they're known for.
Oh,
ever.
Come on. I love Germany. Have you been to Hamburg? Beautiful city. It was lovely.
I've been to Hamburg.
Have you?
It's the place that invented hamburger.
Oh, here we go again. Oh, my gosh.
Have you been to Berlin, the sex capital of the world?
I have not been to Berlin, the sex capital of the world.
Have you been to some rave and ordered a Domino's on the fifth floor of some freaky-deaky hipster neo-light thing?
No.
Yeah, don't talk about Germany, Jeff.
But
I've seen things.
I have watched The Fugitive in a random private room in the capital of Ukraine. It was billed to us as a high-class quality movie experience, when in reality it was a 50-inch LCD TV with some decent speakers.
With 11 recliners.
And a bunch of... Were they even actual... I feel like they were swivel chairs. Were they actual recliners?
It may have been. That was a weird night, but I love that we found that.
I don't remember.
It's like, oh no, it's a private room. It's a private room.
It was a step above somebody just having a nice house and saying, come watch a movie in my living room. But it was, but for Ukraine, it was very swanky.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That would have been an entire apartment over there.
Yeah, pretty much.
So Jeff, I interrupted you. You're well.
Anyways, I'm well. I know you and I haven't done a show since after conference. So it's been a little while.
Who's been standing in for me? Anybody good?
They're all terrific individuals with sweet spirits.
Who's my competition? Who must I destroy? As I've been away, I've been getting stronger. I'm ready to return and
to destroy them. You would have to actually sit down and do more shows with me. That's the only way.
I don't think that's going to happen.
So, you know, that's the deal.
I'm still getting stronger, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Who's your biggest competition? I don't know. Could be Rosemary Card, maybe. I don't know.
Rosie's a delightful woman. I would happily destroy her, of course.
Well, good. As one should. I mean, that's how it is.
You've nominated her.
So otherwise, you know, stuff's good. Let's see. You and I haven't talked.
I understand you've been changing some electrical outlets as an uncertified electrician, if we can call the homeowners association.
I haven't been installing new circuits or anything. That's more complicated. I don't know. I'm not dealing with that kind of stuff. You know how easy
it is to switch
turn out?
The power off to your entire house when you change an outlet?
You can if you want to be safe, but as long as you just know which circuit it's on, you're okay. You know, you shut off the correct circuit.
I've always just turned the power off to the entire house and then changed a dozen and then turned it back on.
That's you could do that, but it's unnecessary.
I'm not super believing in the honesty of the electricians that came before me.
Well, see, then you always. I have an electrical, you know, tester, so you see if it's still hot.
Oh, I don't have that.
You just get one of those. It's useful. I still turn it off.
I got a paper clip, but it still stings.
It's like trust but verify. You know, you know you've killed it, but you want to double check. Because the last thing you want to do is get zapped when you're messing around with wiring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm sure everyone's thrilled with this update, Val, but yes, I've been installing electrical things. I even installed one of those newer power outlets that has USB charging ports in the middle part of it.
I love those.
Very fancy. I was tempted to get the one with USB-C, but I don't feel like it's quite ubiquitous enough to be useful. So,
it's a great point.
I mean, maybe at some point I'll upgrade it a few years from now. We'll see. Otherwise, my life is just grand. It's the holidays. It is Christmas time next week. This is our last show before Christmas, of course, everyone.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Yeah, I'm excited.
That song has grown on me, that classic Paul McCartney ditty right there.
It really does. It really does.
My favorite part is the weird delay that's on the synth, so it sounds like a bouncing ball. That's a great song. I love Christmas time. I'm excited. I'll have some family in town. We're staying here in D.C. because we went to California for Thanksgiving this year instead, which was a lot of fun. Hadn't been home for Thanksgiving for a long time. And
are your in-laws coming to D.C.?
No, my sister's coming to D.C., though, so that'll be nice.
Of course not. Your in-laws don't care for you anymore. They're over you. Your children?
Well, I've given them grandchildren, so I've served my purpose. I mean, I'm basically...
Let me give you the hard truth about how your in-laws feel about you, Jeff.
Tell me everything I need to know.
You should always be self-conscious about your relationship there. They've never come and visited you, not since 5 years ago.
I hate you. I've always hated you. Do you ever remember that? Remember the dramatic reading of a real breakup letter?
Yeah, it's classic.
Which I also found. So I was going through a lot of, a little bit of housekeeping for people. If you're a longtime TWIM listener, sometimes folks email us and say, hey, I can't listen to this old episode or whatever, like, you know, from years and years ago. There's two reasons for that. One of those, you set your limit on how many show up in a feed, like in iTunes or in Apple Podcasts, what have you. But also, even if you go to the website and you like to stream there, we changed our hosting a while ago, and so some of the older ones we just didn't migrate over. But I've been fixing that, so now you can go back pretty darn far in the back catalog and at least stream episodes on our website.
Do we have people that are going back that far and listening to news from 5 years ago?
I've had people email me and say, hey, why can't I listen to episode, 63? I'm like, well, okay. So
It's 9 years old.
If you're going to the trouble to want to listen to episode 63, I will happily go back in and make sure there's an audio feed attached to it. But I've been going back in on all of these, and it's been pretty amusing to go back and see some of our old episodes. And at the same time, look how terrible we were at SEO and image formatting and all the other things that make something a wonderful, enriching multimedia experience.
Yes.
That's all. But hey, just so you know, folks, I'm going to work my way all the way back to number one in case you want to start TWIM from the beginning.
Wait, you were referencing this in regards to a angry breakup letter?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I hate you. I've always hated you.
I don't know why. Have you ever seen that on YouTube?
Of course, yes.
Anyway, it made it into an episode somehow. That's why it popped into it. We had the video embedded. There was a screenshot. I think it was all there. I said, I don't know why this isn't one of our episodes from who knows how many years ago. But you're the worst.
Okay, great. Good.
Thank you.
I'm glad.
How's life for you, Al?
Life is good. I started today watching how a man built a roller coaster tycoon video or a roller coaster tycoon ride that lasts 12 years. So, pretty great day. Let's see, what else is interesting here? We did a little Hawaii trip. My child flew for the first time. We were terrified.
How'd he do?
Did really well. He did great. 10 hours, he just kind of cooed and chilled and ate peanuts and a lot of chocolate, and it was fine. Then, okay. Let's see. Huh? Jeff? Yes? Do you have a question?
That's your life, huh? Your life's now... I mean, come on. You went to Hawaii. Hawaii's the best. It's your land.
Hawaii was great. I ate great food. Had a good time. Came back. We have a mice problem. A little ratatouille issue going on in the house. If you've ever had this happen, it's like your wife goes into cleaning overhaul mode. Nothing is safe. And I'm glad for it. I'm not mad. But for the first time in my life, I've had to interact with wooden rat traps or mice traps. It's the worst. It is the worst. It's the absolute worst. Because for some reason, there's a part of me that's been, I've been trying to save them, like save the traps. I thought I could reuse them a few times. Don't reuse them. They're 50 cents. Just throw them away.
Yeah.
Put them in the garbage.
And when they inevitably bifurcate a mouse's face and have blood on them, yeah, you don't really want to.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You don't need to reuse those.
Dealing with that.
No. So we called the pest control guy and he's like, great, I'll be there in 2 weeks. And I was like, dude, come on. Drea was great because she's like, can we do like a non-lethal method of pest control? And I was like, babe, this is Missouri. It's all chemicals all the time. We got to kill that. But my wife is great because she does, like, she is very health conscious with that stuff. And so when you're trying to clean up mice guts with like a vinegar concoction with some doTERRA scents in there, I'm like, give me the bleach.
No.
I just need to kill some germs.
Hold on. Back up the truck for a second. Is doTERRA a part of your life now?
No, it's not. But
okay,
I don't know how you get the peppermint smell in there. It's something.
I was very worried for a moment, sir. Very worried.
Jeff, if you'll just come into my downline, you know what I did listen to? There's a podcast called The Dream, where it just like explores the MLM world. And so there's actually quite a bit of Mormon reference stuff in there.
Not just surprising.
How Utah ends up with a lot of MLM type stuff. But it was interesting. When I flew out to Hawaii, I went to speak to the university out there, the BYU Hawaii, as their business guy. And the lunch after, there's this kid that's in there trying to tell me, you know, his uncle's trying to recruit him into an MLM and his uncle's really cool. And he would never, and I was like, hey, listen, your uncle sucks. The fact that a family member that knows you would try and like derail your career by like pulling you into an MLM means he's a total douchebag. Also, the fact that you're seriously considering doing this, and he's like, listen, I'm pretty persuasive. Okay. So, you know, like I'm kind of built for it. And I was like, no, that's called manipulative and you're a douche. Like you're the worst human. So anyway, I hope I inspired some children with my speech and maybe saved an MLMer. Maybe I did. You never know. If you're stuck in an MLM right now, go to the gas station and get a real job and quit abusing your friendships, please.
And call Al. Al will help you break up with your MLM. He will help you end that relationship.
Yeah. I'll make the phone call. You're going to be stuck with all your crappy stuff you bought, the $20,000 in debt you went, but get out still.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Noni Juice and New Skin and all you other crappy
companies. We even received a Christmas card that mentioned
the MLM. Did you really?
Yeah, not trying to recruit or anything like that, but you ever like recapping the year, and I couldn't believe I'd be running my own business this time last year. Da, 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 da. And you're just like, man, it's
the It Works Wraps is not your own business, lady. Get out of here.
Yeah. Never understand it. I will never understand it. I mean, people are happy doing what they do, but
You know what other podcasts I've been getting into? KSL did one called Cold. Have you listened to this?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, the Twin Sisters did an episode, and they plugged this show. They talked all about this main series.
I'm just getting into it, so no spoilers. But I'm pretty sure she dies. But pretty a lot of Mormon stuff in there too. But like I find it super compelling. It's really well done.
Oh yeah, you're talking about what's his face? The Susan Powell story? That thing?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Twin Sisters.
She's like, I mean, she's like writing in there. It's like, oh, I went to the temple and I'm praying about it. I think I'm going to give him one more chance. It's like when you can look back in retrospect, you're seeing his stuff where he's like, I'm a serial killer psycho. And then hers, and you're just like, man, there, how many sweet women are just people are in these relationships where like instead of taking like red flags seriously, you you feel some weight of keeping a thing going because you love them or I mean love complicates all that stuff and kids and all that
love complicates everything.
Man, when somebody's like a horrible human, you owe it to yourself to not let them kill you in your sleep, please.
That's a
not to blame the victim. I'm just saying for other people that are not dead yet,
and not to be controversial.
Don't
but yeah,
die.
You should
don't die.
So that's two plugs for the podcast Cold coming from our show in a matter of weeks.
Sure. Yeah.
So I guess it's worth checking out. I've tried to get back into podcasting again. I was telling you before we recorded. So I had a bum car stereo for a while. I got a new one and it's delightful because now I have Bluetooth and I've been able to listen to
Jeff bought a car stereo with Bluetooth and was very excited that it had Bluetooth.
I mean, it's a new one. So of course it has Bluetooth.
Welcome to 2006.
My previous one only had line in. Now I've upgraded, right?
Is this your 2003 Camry we're talking about?
It's a 2000 Camry. Her name is Priscilla, and I will be buried in her.
How many miles is she now?
Only has 173,000.
Wow. With a cross-country road trip in her. That's some L.A. driving.
I take care of my car, man. I'm making sure that when I trade it in, I'll get at least $500. Keeping those miles low. That's what I'm doing.
It's got to be worth nothing right now.
According to Kelly Blue Book, I could get like a grand, maybe. I would not.
It's so sad.
On a trade-in, I would not expect more than like $500. I wouldn't. But it still runs. it would be more expensive to put money down for a new car and pay the monthly payments for a new car, as fun as it would be. So, you know, I'm just driving around happy as can be, and I got my new stereo. Point is, I have been a bad podcast listener because I can't really listen to them at work because I can't concentrate on the work I have to do if I've got a podcast feed going. So my commute now is golden time for that, and it's been much more instructive. I streamed the entire book Saints during my commuting. I've listened to
any good?
Yeah, it was good. It was kind of rough stone rolling light is a way I would look at it. I think if you're extremely well versed in church history, you're not going to learn anything new, and you could potentially even be frustrated by perhaps some of the lack of depth, but I don't think it doesn't completely just try to put a shiny face on even more difficult periods or controversial things. It's reasonably matter of fact, but it's not perfect. But most members of the church are not hardcore historians, and I imagine listening to it, there'd be a lot of new information that would be very interesting to the typical Latter-day Saint. So that's, I think it's very much worth time because we benefit by knowing our history a ton. We should know our history way more than we do.
Listen, I've read Work in the Glory, so I think I get it.
Well, okay. Gerald Lund is the official church historian. No, he's not.
And for Nathan Steed. So both of those.
Yeah. You know. But I recommend Saints. I haven't read it. I just did the audiobook, but there was good stuff that I took in from that. So a couple new things I learned and affirming in general. So listen to that. But it's nice to listen. I don't know. I just feel better now. I'm like listening to podcasts again. I'm trying to get back on the,
finally,
I'm trying to get back on the wagon because it was nothing but NPR all the time. And that was it.
Oof. Wow.
And the occasional switch to the classical station when I got tired of Trump stories.
You live a hard life.
Life is so hard.
All right, well, we're about 5 minutes in. We ought to do some Mormon news.
Well,
do you have any news?
Oh, I've got a few. So speaking of, we were hinting at church-owned entities there with KSL. So how about the fact that we've heard, more anecdotally, there's nothing published about this, but it comes from multiple sources, that Deseret Book and Siegel Book, any of the places owned by the church, are going to stop stocking titles with the word Mormon in them. Presumably other than the Book of Mormon. I assume they will still sell that. But
No.
But beyond that, they're, you know, this is all part of the whole not...
I feel like that's the ultimate gotcha. You can't ban books with the word Mormon in the title when you sell your bestseller, maybe, the Book of Mormon.
Yeah, I know. So this could affect a lot of inventory. And we've heard this mostly from people who have their own publications, and their publishers have told them about this upcoming change. Now, they're not being terrible about it. They're not saying, hey, you're done. If you rename your book, they could restock it. But I don't know. I mean, I get it trying to kind of line up with what the church is doing, and Deseret Book's owned by the church, and they want to support its mission and all those things. But
I wonder, so like, do we fast forward 5 years and it's still a losing fight? I mean, because we've had the let's rename the church stuff before, not with as much emphasis maybe as Elder President Nelson has put on it.
Yeah,
but
it's
like,
more serious this time.
But like, I mean, do we just get to the point where it's like, all right, Mormon also means us. Ugh.
Well, I don't think Deseret Book has tried to purge itself of Mormon such. I mean, that's a huge change. I mean, how many things have the name Mormon in it? Even not related to the Book of Mormon.
Book of Mormon stories.
I think that one's fair because it's the stories related.
Model Mormon, tattooed Mormon.
Those are both in trouble. I mean, a quick search on their website.
Quick times at Mormon High.
Let's see. We've got studying the Book of Mormon, lots of Book of Mormon. I'm trying to see if they've already purged it of things that are not scriptural or scripture adjacent. Finding Christ of the Book of Mormon, Women of the Book of
Mormon. Mormanity. Is he in trouble?
I don't know if he's in trouble or not. They've stopped selling Mormon doctrine a few years ago, so that one's in the clear.
Bruce R. McConkie would have a fit.
Well, that book was never exactly
cool. It's a fun read. You got to give it that.
It's a hoot.
Dude, there's a lot of interesting stuff in there.
So I don't know. I don't know. I get it where they're coming from, but I wonder if, in my opinion, maybe it's a step too far. And it's commerce, too. Like it's one thing if you don't care about what it means from an SEO or whatever perspective because it's the right thing to do. But when you're trying to sell product and get the name out there, that's just a huge hit. You're hurting your authors, basically, by nixing it. But hey, all things might work out in the end.
That's what we always say. All things might work out in
know.
The end.
Sherry Dew seems to know something we don't. But I think this is a very curious development in the world of Latter-day Saint-related publishing. And what about back catalogs for the Tabernacle Choir at Temple Square? I've wondered about this.
Sony owns the rights. They can't make Sony changes.
I don't think they sell the Sony ones at all anymore, though. That's the thing. That's why back in 2003, the church they released Consider the Lilies on their own label, and that's why they released so many records after that, because Sony was going to stop. They were actually going to stop producing new copies of a lot of their Motab back catalog, and so the Tabernacle Choir said, "Cool, we're going to record our own and have our own label and create our own new back catalog." But now, will you be able to buy Consider the Lilies? But it'll now be by the Tabernacle Choir at Temple Square. Will it be repackaged? Will they just stop selling the ones that have
a terrible name? It's a terrible name.
Tab Cats, Al. It's a great name.
Why not America's Choir? The choir that sang for Donald Trump is what
they should call it. The choir, yeah, or the MAGA choir.
Whoa. Great point, Jeff.
Make choir great again.
Well, will there be any end to this Mormon madness?
Probably not. Who knows where it'll go from
here? Tune in next week to find out.
I don't even know. Pretty soon BYU TV won't be called that anymore either, because BYU will not be supportive enough. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Great point. So the Boy Scouts of America are threatening to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
What a threat it is. I'm scared.
They've retained a law firm to explore Chapter 11. Possibly to, they are getting sued from the people that were abused as youth in Boy Scouts. So there's a lot of like sexual sort of cases coming up now that are coming back to haunt them, as it were. Also, they're reportedly a very poorly run business organization. It's a great organization. Boy Scouts, the idea of Boy Scouts, I love. Had a wonderful time in there. Would hope that my kids get to have a chance to have an association of camping and making tinfoil dinners that burn on one side. But sort of interesting to see them as a business. Also, they're based out of Irvine, California. I mean, come on. We could save on some real estate. Let's move to Topeka.
But you know what else is based in Irvine?
Satan.
Wait for it. In-N-Out Burger, Taco Bell, and Del Taco. All of them.
All right, yeah, a lot of tacos and a lot of burgers.
All of them in the same city.
So anyway, I'm just saying, Boy Scouts, do you think it's because of the church split? Did the church, like, all of a sudden take its Friends of Scouting fundraiser during the third hour of church and shove it where the sun does not shine?
One, I cannot wait for Friends of Scouting to not happen anymore. But two, maybe. I mean, I imagine
are popcorn sales down this year?
We were a big part of supporting Boy Scouts, and that hurts. Though I have to imagine, yes, they've
had a scandal. What were we? We were like a fourth of all Scouts, right?
It was something just a fourth?
Maybe half?
I don't know. But yeah, a good quantity. I don't know off the top of my head.
A number. A solid number.
No, not a solid number. A fraction is what you're describing.
Sure.
So let's use our mathematical terms correctly, if you will.
By the transitive property, it could be a million. That was always I could get anywhere with that. I'm a programmer.
That's how you got successful in business. You just dropped that in meetings. You're like a VC meeting, and you're like, actually. So
by the transitive property,
my valuation is actually an 11 times valuation, and let me explain to you why. Stuff. That's the olden days. Anyways, I don't know. I imagine it hurt. I do believe there's something to say for the...
It could. I don't think it was the hammer, though, was it?
I don't know if it was the hammer. I mean, like, the articles state, it makes sense. It's almost like they've been hit with so many lawsuits. It's almost like they're saying, well, they're not saying, hey, we're financially in disrepair. They're basically saying, we don't want to deal with having to pay for these lawsuits, so if we file for Chapter 11, we can put a pause on these and potentially get rid of them altogether if we have to restructure.
Yeah, we don't have any money. You can't take anything from us.
It's an interesting way to do it. It hasn't happened yet, of course, but it's not good optics either way. The church leaves Boy Scouts. Boy Scouts starts falling apart. They're no longer Boy Scouts. Boy Scouts. They're scouts. Scouting now. It's all that stuff. It seems like its days are numbered. I think it's like we got out before it got worse. Like, we won't be a part of the sinking ship. We helped sink the ship instead.
Yeah, now we have the... What's the program now that they're using?
Have they actually announced it completely? I don't think they have.
It's like duty to God forever and ever through my teen years.
Yeah, amen. That's the name of it.
It's co-authored by George Strait.
Speaking of amens, I like that I was in a meeting this week and we said amen after a prayer and someone said, yeah, by the way, I agree. And I was like, that's actually the definition of amen. It means I concur.
I hope you condescendingly correct.
Oh, them. I did it with a... I didn't say anything. I should have, though. Dang it, Al. What a missed opportunity to condescend.
Well, the jerk store called and they're out of you. We got to go back. We got to get them again.
So big things have gone down over the past week. I'm assuming you saw this one, Al, that youth in the church now are facing some new opportunities.
I feel like we are progressing at a rapid clip here with under President Nelson.
Yeah, so last Friday, less than a week ago, the church just dropped some nice news on us late in the afternoon that said, so what we're going to start doing is that youth are going to advance into their into their quorums for men or their groups for the girls, not when they hit 12 years old or keep advancing it, when they hit 14, 16, but at the beginning of the calendar year in which they will turn that age. So if your birthday is in July and you're a young man and you're 11, you will presumably be eligible to become a deacon, an ordained deacon, still 11 years of age, in January of your 12 year. Or if it's your 13th year, but you get the idea. That's a big change. I mean, that's huge. So everyone's going to advance in that same way. Kids will leave primary in the same way. I believe this means essentially the Valiant 11 class is just gone. Because if they're all turning 12 in that year, well, then in January they would all just be allowed to advance and say farewell. So this is pretty monumental. It's a big difference. I mean,
what if Elder Nelson, President Nelson, had a terrible Valiant teacher as a youth, and he swore in that moment to someday destroy the Valiant class for everyone.
This is where it all comes from.
And he long conned. He said his prayers, and he was a righteous man.
Ate his vitamins.
All the way until today, when he finally sprung his plan to demolish and abolish the Valiant class.
Well, if so, well done.
It checks out.
Because this came out of nowhere. I mean, this is effective in, like, 2 weeks. It's not like there's lead time.
Also, the Getty image is President Nelson with just holding up a middle finger.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It seems like there's a lot.
Or, work with me, a human heart, because he knows how to – he touches hearts.
An Indiana Jones move. Covet a heart, Indy. That was a great movie.
I just forgot the chant that they say in that.
Kalima.
So.
Yeah. Terrifying.
So anyway, I mean, the main big change with this, of course, is it makes sense for a 2-hour block because I don't know exactly how it would have been otherwise, but presumably on the Sundays that would have been Sunday school, you'd have kids advancing like they normally have because they follow the calendar year for that. But on the Sundays that are youth, they would have still been in primary. I know a lot of wards send kids off, they don't keep them in primary anyway, but it all depends. That wouldn't have made a lot of sense. Now every Sunday they will be advanced with their group. But really, I mean, this means like I've been looking at this now because my bishop was so kind to me as the executive secretary. I was looking for some guidance in our meeting on Sunday. And he's like, Jeff's going to take care of this. And I said, thank you. Thank you so much.
Got him. Are you okay there, buddy? Get some water. Drink your spit.
Take my vitamins.
Take your vitamins. Now, it is interesting. I know there's a lot of moms that, like, were not prepared for their 11-year-olds to all of a sudden be priesthood holders. Well, I mean, exactly. It's just like normally you build up to that, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, guess what? 2 weeks, they're done. And it's like, wait a minute.
And quite literally, you could be turning 12 in December of a year from now. But come January, you're eligible to be a deacon.
It's crazy.
Which is pretty interesting. That's why. So my bishop, I guess, was fielding a number of calls from parents about what's going on. And all he basically said was, this isn't my deal. Just call Jeff. So I'm getting hosed. Like, nope. I've still got to sort through all of this. I've been trying to get my head around all of but I'm trying to basically get my bishop to be able to do like 20 youth interviews within the next couple of weeks. Should be fun.
Make it so, Jeff.
And during Christmas time, no less. Thanks, President Nelson. Great timing on that one. Couldn't have announced it back with conference. Give me some lead time here.
That's another rant by Jeff.
I'm sorry.
So sorry. Let's see. So there's this interesting article. Where is this? Deseret News? Yeah. And this, the Trib. Where it asks, so there's this gal down in New Zealand who is a baptized member of the church, also runs a podcast, supposedly a little John DeLynn-ish, but she went and got baptized, also a member of the Anglican Church. And the question arose, she said, "I see myself as a consumer of faiths. I'm not choosing one or the other. I believe in all of them. So do I believe in the LDS Church? Yes. Do I believe in the Anglicans? Yes." And sort of lobbied to be able to stay a member of both churches. What say ye, Jeff?
That's it? I mean, there's a little more.
Call Jeff. He'll figure it out.
Isn't there more play setting you want to do on this one?
No. They ended up, I think they ended up calling her in for disciplinary action. Yeah, but it was more focused on the podcast and stuff. But it begs the question of, like, in isolation, if you, Jeff, were like, "Hey, you Baptists, you're great too. I'm going to go get baptized over here. Also, I'm going to go every week, and like, I believe in my prophet and all the stuff over here." I mean, in theory, you wouldn't go get baptized somewhere else with that.
And that's what's weird about it. I've had a few thoughts on this, and I don't know where.
I think it's interesting. It's an interesting sort of.
I had a guy a few years ago when I was in a different ward who got baptized, an amazing member, had a huge testimony, but he still felt something of a cultural tie to his previous church, and he'd still go there, mostly because he wanted to be involved in their music, and frankly, my ward had a bad music program. So,
amen.
So that mattered to him. But it was different there because I knew that he wasn't feeling like he was trying to be in communion in the real religious context, in communion with the other church, but he was going because he still wanted to be a part of it. But he had a firm testimony of what we were doing in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So that was a bit different. I've had other.
So you're fine with both.
You're fine with both. But the difference is, in this particular case, as best as I can tell, it's a bit different because it is, hey, I've been baptized in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, presumably recognizing by those who have the proper priesthood authority. But if one goes and is baptized in another church, are you saying you also recognize their authority and therefore the singular authority of the proper priesthood is not only found in the church? So that's one doctrinal issue I'm curious about.
What if you just say, this is the way that I get into their church?
And then that's fine too. Now, what's interesting is what the handbook one says about apostasy, about the definitions of it. So one of them says it's apostasy if you join another church and advocate its teachings. The handbook used to only say, if you join another church, that constituted apostasy. Ah. But then they added in advocate its teachings. That's where it gets a bit thornier. Like, what defines, and I think a lot of it,
because as a missionary, if you find somebody that used to be a member and then started going back to the Catholic Church and like joined back up again, but they you pull them, you have some chats with them, and they decide to start coming back to the LDS Church. They don't have to get rebaptized.
No, they don't.
No. Methinks the baptism sustains.
Yes. But this is a weird place, right? I mean, like you said, I think a lot of, at least according to the local authorities, this discipline is more about Gina Colvin having said things essentially that, like, President Nelson's not a prophet. Yeah, that might get you into some hot water if you're trying to push that issue and sway people to believe it. I could understand why that might result in a disciplinary council.
What was that one guy with the funny name? What was that did that out in Colorado?
John DeLynn.
No.
Are you thinking of Denver Snuffer?
That's the one, the Denver Snuffer.
Well, this is a bit different from Denver Snuffer, but he did have a great name. But yeah, I don't know. It's clear that you can associate with another faith.
I think the conclusion is you can be baptized in both. You just you cannot advocate teachings of the other church. You keep your mouth shut, fly low. You'd be a member of 100 churches if you want.
But then it's a lot of tithing. It's interesting because
they're all collecting.
And I guess it's, you know, if you want to cast a broad you know, a wide net and learn a lot, then I guess for me, I don't fully get it. Like, I don't, in my mind, I'm like,
Jeff, it's called stacking the cards in your favor. When you get to heaven, you want to, you're like, I got every card.
But if you're going to get to heaven, you got to advocate. You got to advocate to get to heaven.
Which one gets me in? I got all of them.
Can't just have them all. I mean, it's one thing if it's within other churches. What if you took it a step further, though, and you're like, all right, I'm a Mormon, but I'm also going to be a Muslim? Then it gets even trickier because you're drifting away from Christianity, where you recognize the divinity of Christ, and you're embracing entirely separate beliefs.
Or call it maybe Buddhism. Buddhism is sort of the acceptance of all.
There are many Latter-day Saints that like to employ some Buddhist teachings and such into their worship. I've seen that in a few circles.
There's a lot of similarities between, I mean, all religions, I guess, but yeah.
As luck would have it, religions share many roots.
They're all about deity.
Who knew?
Interesting.
I don't know, man. I don't know if, I mean, in this day and age, though, we've had a lot of high profile.
I feel satisfied we've solved the riddle.
We've had a lot of high profile excommunications. I mean, Bill Reel got excommunicated a few weeks ago. I feel like that's kind of the way things are tilting.
Who's that?
Bill Reel is a podcaster. He's been questioned church stuff. He basically got excommunicated for more or less advocating positions that were in contra to what the church is, more or less. So it wasn't surprising that it happened. But the John DeLynns and others have rushed to his aid, of course, to tell his story and stand outside of a stake center while he's having a council and make it a big rah-rah thing. So
hey, it's a great way to get listeners.
So anyways, I don't know what's going to happen with this. I'm interested to follow it, but it does raise a very
interesting that's the Mormon podcasting jumping the shark.
Everything John DeLynn or what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Johnny.
When you have your John DeLynn moment.
Johnny boy.
So jump the shark.
So I've got a post all of you should go read. Our boy Jeff Borders, writing for the Convert Files, doing his thing here. He's writes that he's very excited about the changes that are coming with Come Follow Me for Sunday School, which I think is great too. Now, unfortunately, he has not had super positive experiences with gospel doctrine. He talks about when he was a recent convert, he loved going to gospel principles because it felt like there were no wrong questions, essentially. It was a place of open questioning and trying to figure stuff out. And that typically in gospel principles is what happens because that's your audience. And he was sad to learn that gospel principles is going away with the new structure that we're embracing next year. And his experience in gospel doctrine, it's a little bit different. There's not typically this environment of just open questioning or doubt or sort of the rawness and the candor you might experience in gospel principles.
Which is a shame because that's exactly what it should be.
And that is what it should be. Teaching. And that's what it always should have been. And so he writes a great piece about how important it is for us to really take this seriously, the opportunity to create an environment of open questioning and asking these questions and having doubts and working through stuff together and not having so much pride that we ruin both the teaching and the learning experience accordingly.
Yeah, we won't ruin it for you, but go read it. It's a great one.
This was a good piece. Yeah. I'm excited about it because it makes me sad. I've never been in like toxic gospel doctrine classes, but I have seen how there's rarely this sense of just this mood of complete openness where people are okay.
I find outright confrontation is the best remedy for bad gospel doctrine class.
I will never forget,
believe it or not,
earlier this year when one of the or maybe it was last year, when one of the lessons in Doctrine and Covenants, I guess, was on, you know, the back end of the year in Doctrine and Covenants lessons was just random stuff. It wasn't even church history anymore. It was just a lesson on, like, doing good things. This one was about civic engagement, more or less, and the teacher wisely let off and said, so here's what's going to happen in this lesson. If you, I don't want to hear anything about any of these people. And he put up pictures of like Hillary and Trump and James Comey and everybody in politics. And he's like, these are not to be discussed right now. This will bring the spirit of contention into our room. You are not to bring this up. Thank you very much. I just love that he straight up just dropped, you know, Mitch McConnell, all of the all-stars, everybody you could want. Kafifi.
The classics.
Kafifi.
There's a great, who is this, Peggy Fletcher Stack? I believe when conference talks are corrected, Kind of an interesting piece on, because sometimes there are times where the brethren will give a talk,
yeah,
and then the online searchable text is different.
It does get tweaked.
From what was said in conference. Normally, it's a word or two. Sometimes recently, like a controversial word or two will be a phrase maybe left out, not to be part of like the official canon. And she just kind of explores some of the reasons why and challenges of, particularly from like a historian perspective, trying to go back and match audio to text is cumbersome. Just very difficult to do when you have so much of it. And the church is like, as they've gone through the years, it's become more transparent just because people will remember these things and then go watch them the next day. There used to be quite a period of time between when the stuff would be said and when you would read it. I remember, I remember as a kid noticing like a joke or two would get left out from like a Hinckley talk where you'd be like, wait, I remember laughing really hard at something when he made that fart noise and then pointed. And it's like, that's not in there. They didn't write that in the official log. But there's also, it gives some examples of early days of the church of like brethren disagreeing with each other. And President McKay was like, strike those from the record. Do not let the record show these. You know, it's sort of a desire to show a unified image that's, you know, was supported for a long time. Honestly, I think there's space, and I think Peggy Fletcher Stack kind of argues this, but there's space for like a non-homogenized leadership, or like a leadership that even sort of disagrees on some points with each other and is, you know, hoping for change, though there's a lot of focus on we all think and talk and say the same thing. Especially from like the Quorum of the 12, there's not a lot of room for disagreement in there. But we may be to a point where I think we're okay with that. But I don't know. For now, still, they make sure that the message is very clean. It's kind of interesting.
We've got some funny history with this. Like one of my favorite ones was General Authority Ronald Pullman back in 84. He gave a whole conference talk where he tried to make a distinction between the gospel and the church, which is funny because now that's a discussion that's been had very openly in General Conference. But higher-ups objected to the speech. And famously, Pullman actually revised the talk and went back and taped it like with a black backdrop behind him. Like they completely expunged the original video of it and had him retape the talk for the record with a new video, which is kind of a crack up when you think about it. Because even now when they edit this, you can often still go back and watch the video. I mean, she talks about recent examples like, in most recent conference, Elder President Oakes referred to the female leaders who had spoken as sister presidents, but in the online text it says sister leaders. But I think if you still watch the video, he's saying sister presidents. Like you'll still see what they said.
Yeah.
Because it would be jarring if they totally dropped that. I remember when D. Todd Christopherson.
It's like a TBS film edit where it's like, sister Pratt leaders go often.
Also,
it's like a Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Also, the article has an honorable mention for Boyd K. Packer's Little Factories, which I feel like always deserves a mention anytime it comes up in the news.
what was that mention? It was that, that he did that, and then the church like just ceased publication.
The church
of that.
Basically de-indexed it in 2016. I think you can still find it if you know exactly anymore. Where to look, but it doesn't show up in search. It doesn't. Yeah, it's. It's not around. I think if you search, what's the talk called for young men? I think you can still find it, but
it's a no index, no follow, huh?
Pretty much. So it is a good article. Yeah. And it's lengthy too. It goes a lot. I think they had a scholar looked back as far back as like 1896 and found times when talks had been severely altered after the fact.
Yeah.
Which isn't weird for any institution. But it reminds us that the brethren are humans. And it also reminds us that apparently their talks aren't always vetted beforehand, and they're doing what they're doing because they're relying on the Spirit.
I want to know about the On the Blaze with the Glenn Beck show. How many of those get edited? That's the real question.
Yeah, right. Man. A quick mention for all y'all. The Oakland, California Temple will reopen to the public in May of this year for an open house. It is one of many that has been closed for a long time. It was kind of one of the first ones to go down for a lengthy, lengthy multi-year renovation. So it's going to come back. You can run open house
stronger than ever.
May 11th through June 1st. And you can go and check it out. It's, I believe, the only temple in the church with five spires, I think.
Greg Trimble and his soul patch argue we need to make church more cool for millennials to come back to.
What does that involve?
I would argue we need the spirit to be in the church, and it'll kind of work itself out.
We got to be, but it's got to be like a place people they want to be. I mean, it's not like we're going to get all Hillsong.
We don't need coolness, Jeff. Hipness is for the hipsters.
But you understand that churches, including ours, are hemorrhaging millennials because they just don't feel like it's a place for them anymore. What do we do about this?
And do they need rock bands and sunglasses?
Yes.
Will that fix it?
Yes.
I think pandering to the idea of millennials is way worse than creating a space that you're confident in and helping millennials feel comfortable there. It's not about creating a cool space. It's about loving people.
Well, what is?
I think it'll go further. Well, give it a shot.
What does Greg Trimble actually suggest we do?
Probably nothing. I can't read his writings.
The world needs millennials to make going to church cool again. There's some truth to that.
Whatever.
It's a different thing. It's one thing to make church cool.
Give us big, flowy robes like the Catholics, and I'll come back. I want a Superman cape.
Oh, Al, please come back. Please come back.
In truth, I've never left thee.
Well, anyway, you can go read that if you want, everybody. Now, good old also, Greg Trimble, the author of Dads Who Stay and Fight, an okay book.
All right. We don't care, Jeff.
It was an okay book. It wasn't a great book.
Also, Elder Christofferson went to the G20 and talked about
what?
The church has a responsibility with suffering. Anyway, this is a great show.
Wait a minute. He was at the G20?
Yeah, he was.
G20 is a big deal.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's the top 20 countries, Jeff. That includes pretty much everyone.
It's not the G7. I understand that. It includes 13 more countries than the G7.
Yeah. Any place where Poland is also in attendance, I'm not counting as anything.
But Poland is wonderful. Have you been there? Well, except for their new government. Their current government is iffy. But that's a whole other... Poland's awesome! Go to Krakow,
Don't,
everyone.
Jeff.
Go to Krakow.
It makes you look desperate.
I'm sorry. I just want to be accepted and loved.
Anyway, people, you are welcome to email us. Contact at thisweekinmormons.com.
I'm so lonely.
Jeff will read your emails and forward the interesting ones to me. To your credit, I have not been forwarded an email in a number of weeks. So you guys are saying nothing of interest.
Except for some of the regular emailers who found out our personal email addresses and just write to those.
Yeah, Josh, yeah. You're right there, man. He's in the circle
it's,
for sure.
It's happened. So. Anyway, obviously, everybody, we're on the social media. You should follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/thisweekinmormons. If you go there, your life will be enriched beyond that which you can believe. And I hope you'll go on Patreon. That's patreon.com/thisweekinmormons and become a patron. Help us out. Support the cause. The cause of...
Yeah, pay for Jeff's AWS bill.
Yes. I don't want to pay it. Exactly right.
All
right. Shouldn't be on me. But we thank you all for listening, everybody. Thanks for taking the time to join us this week. And we hope you all have a terrific Christmas. Seriously. It's a Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It's Christmas. Go caroling and do things like that. And I'm an eggnog advocate, so please enjoy it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And get a Chick-fil-A peppermint shake.
Be good.
Sleigh bells ring, and I'm listening, but I'm turning and twisting, 'cause I'm itching up here and I'm scratching down there. I'm a-walking in my winter underwear. Now the front is all battered, and the back is all tattered. But when I'm cold to the core, I call through the trap door and up into my winter underwear. Well, I don't care if it rains or snows or freezes. I am so warm, I just don't give a hoot. I put on all the stockings I can locate. Then I wear two pair of trousers with my suit. But when I start to perspire, yeah, then it sets me on fire. Because I'm itching up.